This is the Psychic Artist Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Rossiter. I'm an artist, writer, and psychic medium living in Hawaii. This show is about people who are intuitive and creative, and what the process of integrating that awareness looks and feels like, and how we can access and develop that place inside of us all that is supremely psychic. Today, I speak with Laura Michelle Powers. She's a celebrity psychic, a creative entrepreneur, an author, an actress, a singer, songwriter. She has multiple podcasts and multiple books. And I find her teachings to be so supportive and such a positive outlook in this day and age. And I really hope that this conversation supports you in releasing anything that's holding you back from living your best life or being as creative and abundant as you would like to be. I think there's some wonderful tools. And also at the end, we share a couple courses that we are both involved in. And I hope you enjoy. So welcome, Laura Michelle Powers, to the Psychic Artist Podcast. And it's nice to have you back a second time.
So great to be here. I always love talking with you and I love your show.
Thank you. And you're about to travel somewhere. Where are you headed to?
Yeah. You know, this is an interesting time for travel. So I'm actually going to Greece. Santorini in particular has been on my mind. And I feel like I have a lot of past lives in Athens in particular. So it'll be really interesting to have that experience and see just what it's like being there, as I've never been to that particular, those two islands.
I just got to ask you if we could look at past lives in Athens.
Yes, I feel that a lot of people that are psychic have had past lives in Greece.
Interesting. Yeah, you also mentioned Atlantis once. There's these certain locations where people have a lot of kind of group learning that happened together, different sort of shifts in thinking in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll have groups that incarnate together in various places, and then they'll reincarnate together in a different place. So you get these like soul groups that are kind of going through similar learning and experiences together. So there's soul families and then soul groups, and then even bigger, like kind of soul nations. It's really, really fascinating to look at on a psychic level and then to see what that means in terms of our relationships with each other, with other nations, with other groups, you know, tribes, etc.
Yeah, I had never heard that idea of a soul nation, but it makes sense. I mean, even humanity is one group of sort of consciousness. We all, you know, humans, we're all kind of like, we chose to incarnate in this form so we could interact in this way. So it makes sense that there would be subgroups of that. So interesting. I feel like we just jumped into the deep end and we haven't introduced ourselves to the audience, but Laura and I work together a lot and she's a great teacher to me, a mentor, and we've done a lot of psychic training and I've learned so much from just individual sessions with you. So I wanted to do a podcast episode about psychic training, about the benefits of doing a psychic reading with someone consistently and how you can really change your life and shift the paradigm that you live in and your how you can develop spiritually through doing psychic work.
Yeah, I think it's such a profound concept and something that was made clear to me as soon as I started to delve into this work. And for me, when I was living my life very analytically and not aligned, not tapped in, not checking in with spirit, I experienced a lot of frustration, a lot of lack, a lot of struggle, a lot of worry. And then as soon as I started operating in this different way, everything got so much easier, much easier, more abundant. You know, I was basically sick, poor, worried, stressed out, you know, all the bad things, feeling unloved when I was living from a purely analytical perspective. And then when I started to connect with spirit and feel the love from spirit and ask for guidance from spirit in my life, everything transformed in such a profound way. I mean, I've just explained that, you know, where I was, and then like now my life is very magical. I set my own hours. I basically decide when and where I want to go, what I want to work on. It's pretty incredible. And it's not like it magically happened overnight. I mean, there were processes and things I had to do, a lot of resistance that I had to work through, a lot of deprogramming I had to do, but ultimately it's so worthwhile and so much easier than the sort of linear structured path that I think we're all taught to do, which frankly is working less and less for a lot of people. I think that the sort of energy paradigms of the world and the planet have shifted. So some of these old systems that used to work very well are not working very well any longer for people. And we are shifting it into a more intuitive, energetic, kind of higher level consciousness. And if you fight it, that's when it tends to feel like a rough ride.
Yes. Yeah. And your lessons come in more extreme ways and can feel very unpleasant. And I experienced that early on in COVID, of just this fear-based thinking, controlling my every decision. And so being a very intuitive, empathic person, and before I met you, I didn't realize how empathic or psychic I was. And in fact, when we met early on, you said, "Oh, you're very psychic." And I was like, "No, you're not." So I think a lot of creative people, a lot of people on the planet were much more psychic and intuitive and empathic than we realized. And I didn't even know really what empathic meant. So, with the advent of intense events in society, I was reading the news incessantly for the last 5 years, feeling really, really stressed out and feeling the, I just listened to your episode on your podcast about fear. That was so helpful. And I think there is this, this paradigm that we live in that I must read the news to know everything that's happening to survive, that like, if I don't read it, I'm going to somehow get blindsided. And I need to be plugged into a certain structure of information in order to survive and make wise choices. And I lived so many years that way. And in the last year, I've really almost completely decreased my exposure to a lot of media, just because I realized I needed to, in order to progress spiritually and to calm myself down, I needed to detox in a way. And then that in turn has allowed my psychic abilities and my intuitive sort of space to expand exponentially. And it's really brought me a lot of peace. And it's not that I'm checked out. It's just that it's buffered a bit, and I take things with a grain of salt, and I'm sort of like, okay, I see that, but I'm also prioritizing my sort of psychic, emotional, spiritual space as like, oh, it's like self-care in a way. Like, you wouldn't run around outside, naked for 24 hours a day. You might jump in the ocean once, but like, you kind of just need some clothing around your mental space. Sometimes need to protect it energetically. I, in particular, needed way more than I thought I needed.
Yeah. I mean, our whole society is raised on the analytical perspective, where we need the information and then we can assess. And when you start to feel into the energy and use your intuition, you can navigate much more easily. And also just a bit about fear. So obviously, if you want to listen to the whole episode that I released, it's a deeper dive. But one of the things I talked about was how we are biologically programmed to search for fear, to seek it out, because in past histories, when we were literally, out in the jungle or the prairie or wherever we were, and there were predators, or maybe even other humans that might kill us, we needed to be aware of danger. And we got kind of hyper attuned to it, to watch for it, be diligent for it. And in that case, it was literally about physical survival. And if you weren't that way, you might die, very quickly, or more easily. And so we're programmed for it. But the problem is, our body responds to a lot of the things on the news as if it's an immediate physical danger. And all those stress responses go off in the body. And by the way, what does stress do? But it reduces our immune response hugely. So the last thing that we want to do when there's any kind of disease going around is get stressed out and reduce our immunity as a result of that. And also, many of these things are not actually an immediate danger for us. But that fear response gets triggered. And then from an energy perspective, we also then can manifest more of that fear because we're in that state. Mm-hmm. So fear has its place. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes, you know, we really need to pay attention to fear and what fear is telling us, especially in physical circumstances where there could be imminent danger. But the way that it's currently being triggered with constant news access is really not helpful for us as a people. And we have to understand that what's on the news is designed to be supported by ad revenues. The more eyeballs, the more ad revenue. And generally what keeps eyeballs to the screen or ears to the audio is this stuff that is like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid, I have to keep listening to this.
Yeah. You and I have worked together to break down some of these structures through various things. You know, I've taken your manifesting course. I've listened to your 30-day meditation program a couple years ago. I've learned grounding and clearing techniques from you. I've done psychic training and we've done individual sessions. And I think all of these tools that you've taught me and that I've learned through watching you and also the people in the groups that we're in have really supported me in starting to shift my way of thinking about things. So there's this layering of societal beliefs or maybe beliefs from our ancestors. And there's this process of deprogramming that I feel I've been going through. And then as I open up to intuitive guidance, the angels and guides are giving me so many teachings and lessons. As you say, when you do a reading for someone else, usually there's a message in there for you or for a person who's listening. And it's been a really amazing process of learning, unlike any other. You know, I've done yoga teacher training. I've studied yogic philosophy, meditation. But the things that I've learned from you are kind of like no other. My mind wasn't conscious of the metaphysical realm. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. It's not something that is strangely commonplace in our society, even though it's kind of what we're made of.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, when people hear what I do and they start to think about this kind of other way of doing things, and it is like learning a whole new language and a whole new way of being. And it's not something that we're taught when we're little. And I really think we should, honestly, I do think we should learn meditation when we're kids. And, you know, some of these things are really also just about paying attention to our body and ourself. Like, how do we feel when certain things are happening? Especially as women, we're very taught to ignore our own messages and really try to please others, serve others, heal others. So this is a huge societal thing. And it's especially, I think, important right now for women. And women frequently have a strong role in raising children, right? So also for raising this next generation, you know, I wish that we did have sort of psychic 101 or, you know, psychic ABCs growing up as children. I think that would have changed my life so profoundly. And, you know, I think analysis and critical thinking certainly have their place, right? I mean, I'm not saying that they're not important. They really are, but it's like only half of our brain is developed or something. And like, isn't it better when we have the whole thing developed, when we're really using both sides of our brain, all the tools and resources that we have accessible to us, instead of just like half of the picture? And so I feel really guided to share this and help people connect with this, because it changes your life in such incredible ways. And a lot of what I teach, I didn't learn through teachers. And I think that's why you said so much of what I share is like, you haven't heard it from other teachers or other places. Like, I would get this information psychically and then like, I have to share this. So I'd write a book or teach a class on it, because once you know some of these spiritual principles, it becomes so much easier and it doesn't feel like you're kind of fighting against circumstances or fighting against the system. And of course, I don't think we need to be in struggle. I mean, struggle is obviously a part of our life and society, but it doesn't need to be the main thing. And I think it is for a lot of people right now because they don't have these tools.
Yeah, when you brought up the point about all the tools, not just half of the brain, that really resonated with me. And also as a woman, like trusting your intuition, the way that our society really emphasizes, you know, this is how things are done. And you think critically and analytically, and science says this, and, you know, your emotions and your feelings are just kind of periphery, or they're kind of annoying, and, you know, push that aside and go to work and, you know, act like everyone else. And, you know, for me, even just finding a way to just being an artist has been really liberating, not believing in the system basically and working outside of it. You know, maybe I had an office job for some years and then just purposefully deciding I'm only going to work at home for myself. Like, I'm not going to participate in that structure because it was squishing me and so oppressive and like intellectually and emotionally, and having to squeeze yourself into a box and function in a way that is not allowing your greatest gifts to shine and not making space for your emotional knowing was always a struggle. And so, yeah, recently you and I have been looking a lot at the ways in which we as women believe in our own disempowerment. And we participate, and we, you know, we have some responsibility there to take back our power and to develop and make space for these skills to come through. Find an environment in which you feel safe to speak, or find tools to help you break through your fear of visibility. This has been a really big theme lately.
It's so big and important right now. And I really think we are moving into the era of the women. And it is important for us to stand up for what we want and what we need. And it's such a critical piece right now. When you look at data, like I was listening to a podcast actually with a woman who studies this, like, for example, gender roles, pay rates for men and for women, as well as, for example, household kind of chores or child rearing responsibilities. And what's happened over the last couple of decades is women have increasingly worked outside of the home, and then their work inside the home has not reduced accordingly. So basically we have women trying to do and be everything. They're trying to be the main child rearer. They're trying to work full time outside of the home. They're trying to run the household, you know, and that is unsustainable. And it's up to all of us individually to say, hey, like, that's not okay. Like, we need some equity here. And, you know, if you're just busy all the time, working on tasks inside the home, outside the home, there is very little time for this introspection, for this actually listening to ourselves. So this is not just about the sort of work balance and equity, but it's also because when we are so busy and kind of mentally fried, it's even harder for us to tune into our natural intuition. And I do feel that women as a whole are more naturally tied to that, but it's been trained out of us. And then on top of that, women are often so overburdened that they're barely kind of surviving in terms of day-to-day life.
And this idea of taking care of others first, or always being in a pattern of helping, serving, you know, managing, being sort of like the emotional grown-up in the family or in the organization, and, you know, making space for others to have their tantrums or their emotions, but not really holding yourself as important or primary. And it's just a tricky thing. Like, often the woman or the mother will be in charge, but everyone knows that her needs a little come second. It's strange. And so Recently, and for me, this stemmed out of working with you on the concept of boundaries and energy clearing. Like, as I realized my psychic abilities and my empathic state, I was like overwhelmed and needed help clearing. And as we developed these boundaries for me, as I developed my concept of boundaries, which I didn't really have growing up. So it's a new concept. It takes a while to work on. It's not an overnight process, but as boundaries develop, you start to realize all the ways in which you give away power and you put other people first. And then you realize, oh, that's not aligned for me. That's why, you know, you may be blocked in another way, like say financially or manifesting, because you're not welcoming in abundance in your home life or in a situation that seems quite small and minute, but it's actually very significant.
Yeah, absolutely. The universe pays attention to what we allow and what we accept. And for example, if we're trying to call in financial abundance, but we aren't not even giving ourselves enough time to sleep or feeding ourselves properly, I mean, it's sending a mixed message to the universe, right? So we really need to do that for ourselves, for our families, for society as a whole. And you see so many examples of this double standard that happens with women and men. Have you followed the Free Britney movement?
No.
Are you familiar with that? So this is regarding Britney Spears. And I'm just, you know, you can feel whatever you feel about her, but she was basically put under what's called a conservatorship several years ago by her father. You know, he claimed that she was mentally unstable, and they said so they put in this legal system so that she was no longer in control of her own finances, her own medical care. And her father was the head of all of this. And here's the thing, like, this is something that's normally done when people truly are in a difficult mental health space. But she, under this conservatorship, then ran a several year residency in Las Vegas. So she was clearly together enough to like create and run a show, you know, a daily show in Las Vegas. And finally, all these fans started to say, this isn't right. Like, how can she be in this situation? And they would also give her medication that she had to take legally through this conservatorship. And I just kept thinking, like, this would not happen if this was a man. Like, I just can't imagine this happening if the roles were reversed and that was a man in that position. I just don't think it would be allowed. And ultimately, on a spiritual level, a lot of this comes down to boundaries and also the sort of martyr pattern. I was shown early on that, you know, there's different levels of spiritual development. And what souls typically do is, you know, when they're young souls, and this is the very young souls, you know, they kill people, they hurt people, they just take what they want. They don't really have a sense of others. And then as they get older, they realize, oh, that's not a good way to be, because they start to be on the other side of that through karma and experiences where they are hurt and killed and taken from. And they're like, oh, that's not so nice. And then souls get even older and they start to kind of go to the other extreme where they are so focused on others that they are not taking care of themselves. And that's when you get into the sort of martyr pattern. And then spirit told me that the highest form of human and spiritual experience is to lovingly treat yourself and others. You know, that you need to be loving to yourself and to others and not exclude one or the other. So we tend to think of like self-sacrifice, which is a form of the martyr pattern, is like noble. And it's like, no, there's someone suffering. There's nothing noble about suffering in and of itself. And so the highest form is you're good and I'm good. Like, we can all be amazing together. And if we have some kind of belief system that raises up suffering in on either side, then that's something for us to look at and work to shift and reprogram.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that recently in terms of religions and spiritual beliefs and this idea of the ego not being okay, or that you have to become no one and nothing in order to progress spiritually. And I feel like you're a great role model in terms of leading by example, like showing that you can have it all. You can want to have a beautiful clothes and travel to the south of France, and you can be a spiritual teacher. You can help the world. Also in terms of creativity and being an artist, you know, you are also a creative person, and I am, and thinking about creativity in terms of a offering. You know, and that's always been a hard thing to say as an artist. When I was younger, I had trouble believing that, even though I knew it in my heart to be true, that, oh, I'm making art to help the world. It feels like a less immediate offering, but you don't know how it's going to affect the world. And if you think about it in terms of frequency or vibration and your just, you know, as people say, like, if you sit and meditate and become aware of consciousness in this moment, you're helping the world too, because you're shifting what's valued. You're checking in, you're tuning into something that's very positive. And then that's similarly to the contrary, when you check into fear and participate in that, it all has, we affect each other on this planet. We have a relationship energetically.
Yeah, energetically, that we're constantly making these choices between fear and love, you know, that's the sort of dichotomy. And, you know, sometimes it's tricky to figure out which is which, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's definitely a complex process. And all our programming is constantly like filtering the information in, you know, we're filtering that through. And so it's not always easy. And we have to go through this process of reprogramming ourselves and realigning and refiguring out how we process information. And I remember when I was going through this, there was a real disillusionment. And then there can be this kind of death in a way of the older version of you, of that ego version. You know, I don't think the ego ever truly dies, but I became like a completely different person in a lot of ways when I went through this sort of psychic spiritual opening. And I see this happen over and over again with my clients. You know, my master's degree is in political science. I worked in government and politics. I lived very analytically. I did all the things that you're supposed to do. It was like, you know, get a degree, check, husband, check, house, check, advanced degree, check, like fancy career, check, like all the, and then my life was a mess, total mess, you know? And so I saw that that wasn't working for me, but at the same time, it was really hard to let go of all the stuff that I thought was there to help me, you know? And then I realized ultimately it didn't help me. It actually was a disservice. So I just want to share that when you're going through this process of kind of reorienting, it can feel intense. So this isn't all like rainbows and puppies or whatever. Like there's definitely some spiritual work that happens, but it's so worth it to be able to live your life so much more freely and with a lot of this restriction.
Yeah. And so I want to talk about the tools that you use or you recommend. And maybe we could even do some sort of exercise to help people, you know, see what that's like, or something relating to psychic training. I don't know. I'm open to what feels good to you, but, I was just thinking how, for me being so empathic, that, you know, I would come to you with issues like, Laura, I've got this headache for 3 days. It won't go away. You know, you were talking about different ways that things show up for us that can be like that you'll just get a sign, like you have to work on this. It's not pleasant, you know, feel. And when I've gone through some incredible shifts in the last 6 months, there have been moments where I felt like throwing up, or where, you know, I went through a purge, energetic purge, and it manifests in a physical experience. And, you know, we both use the Healy. So that frequency device has been super helpful in terms of helping to manage that, but also just the awareness, like your perspective of like, oh yeah, I've been through that. And this is what happens. It just kind of helps to know. Most of my life I have lived, and I don't know, maybe previous lifetimes too, I've lived believing that what I'm experiencing is somehow a punishment or somehow my fault, or maybe just like, oh, I'm deficient in some way, so I have these sensations. But I have had some really intense sensations my whole life, and I just kind of like try to survive them. And I had a lot of fear around them. And now when I look at them psychically, it's so different. It's like, oh, I was just trying to clear the energy that I had absorbed from someone, or I was just reliving a traumatic, upsetting story that came from a past life, and I'm like clearing it. Or there's opportunities, I think, in each of these moments to look at it from a different perspective. And I feel like that's what you do so well. And that seems like what your biggest shift has been in your life, is just the way you look at things from another perspective. When you use your intuition or your psychic abilities to look at it, you get such a different, you know, when you download or channel spirit, you get such a brighter opportunity to respond to the exact same sensation or situation.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that there's always a silver lining. There's always a positive element to whatever happens. So when I talk about my sort of psychic spiritual opening, it came during a very intense and painful time for me in my life. It was during the recession. My marriage fell apart. I was unemployed. I was physically ill. like all these quote unquote bad things were happening, you know, and they were in the sense of like, they didn't feel pleasant. They didn't feel like good things, but that was my route to help me understand my psychic abilities. And also it helped create a very deep understanding for me what happens when I cut off for myself, for my psychic and intuitive self, is things don't go well. So that was a very clear lesson. So if we're hitting these points of like pain and struggle, in terms of our circumstances, it's important to look at like, what am I being shown here? You know, I love the expression, you win or you learn. And isn't learning and winning anyway? So it's really just a matter of our perspective. And talking about these, you know, physical shifts, a lot of what I teach is, again, what I wish I had had when I was going through this process myself. Like, I remember going through these physical purges and being like, what is going on? You know, I'd literally like be vomiting, and it's like, it wasn't the flu, it wasn't food poisoning. And then I would tune in and be like, oh, I'm just having a spiritual detox. My body and spirit is being like, we need to get some of these old energies out of here. And so I think it is really helpful when you're going through this process to find community, find mentors, find teachers, so that you're not going it alone. Because it's when you get into the mental stuff about it and think you're weird or think it's all in your head, you know, it's a lot harder than when you have other people that can support you in the community and mentors that can say, that happened for me too, here's how I handled it, or here's some tools to help you during that process. And I do want to say, headaches are frequently a sign of some kind of energetic intrusion. So some kind of boundary that's not being honored. And that was one of the first things I developed an awareness of when I developed and stepped into my psychic abilities more fully, was I would get a headache and I became aware, like, where is this coming from? Like, because, you know, I wasn't a person that suffered from chronic headaches, like, and it wasn't like a physical thing. And as I started to access my psychic abilities, I started to see like some of these beings and things that would cause headaches. And it was really, really fascinating psychically.
Can you explain this? I feel like,
asking Archangel Michael to protect this conversation, this part of the conversation, because I feel like it is very helpful. So there are these entities, and I think of them as like energy parasites. So yucky parasites, I wouldn't say are scary, but they're gross. They're not appealing. You know, you're not like, oh, yay, parasites. So just think of them as like energy parasites. And it's important for us to develop stronger boundaries and clear them out. And also just that nothing can energetically interact with you unless you've somehow given it permission or just don't have the boundaries in place. So that's the main thing, is most people have complete lack of awareness of energetic and spiritual boundaries because it's not something we're taught. And so they're like an open playing field for these kind of beings, and they don't know the spiritual principles. So they basically are just open season for these types of beings. And once you start to learn about it and learn how to protect yourself, it's a game changer. But I was shown psychically that many times these beings, they're very clever, and they will manipulate us and present themselves as much bigger and scarier than they actually are. So that's not to say we won't feel their impact, but always to recognize that we are divine, you know, powerful creators, and we can uncreate their ability to impact us. But sometimes that means also releasing and having stronger boundaries with circumstances, people, or situations where they're really involved or connected. So it became clear, for example, that there were certain types of relationships, circumstances, or situations that I needed to release if I wanted to be more spiritually protected.
Yes, that's a tough lesson for me. Often you will think like, oh, this person is so nice, and oh, you're supposed to have this kind of relationship. There's all these supposed to's and shoulds. And when you start to look at things psychically, you get a lot of information that shifts what's aligned for you. And so that's really been my practice in this last year, is really, you know, asking angels and spirit guides and checking in psychically, intuitively, what is aligned in this moment? What is for the highest good of all? And sometimes it won't be what you expect or what is socially, you know, requested or what other people want. And so really learning to trust your intuition and know that when you choose to be in alignment with yourself, with what's aligned for you, that in turn allows others to be aligned for themselves. And I think we all kind of know this varying degrees and examples in our lives, but sometimes it can be harder or less than you expect. And energetically, we don't always realize how much like I was listening to another one of your podcasts where you were doing a reading for someone and you were saying, oh, you have a lot of energetic cords coming to you. And over the years, we collect these cords and we don't always realize the extent to which they're impacting us. And the biggest key for me has been that boundary thing of like, I'm actually something that in my belief, like, so it's amazing to be able to call on Archangel Michael and all the angels and spirit guides to protect, right? But sometimes it doesn't seem to work. And it often turns out that there's a belief, a limiting belief, a pattern, a karmic thing that I have going on that is limiting me from really holding strong energetic boundaries. And it could be in the physical realm, the emotional, you know, the spiritual. There's so many layers on which we start to realize how we are actually contributing to our state and taking, I feel like you're advocating taking responsibility for that on some level, like not being the victim, but saying like, actually, I have some responsibility here and I can look more carefully at my spiritual makeup and like, what am I allowing in that I haven't really interrogated or investigated? What do I really want to have happen here? How do I really want to present and be? And it's a very beautiful process it's a manifesting process, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, I think there's some comfort in the victim mindset, because then it's not your fault. And to be clear, there's definitely people that are victimized in the world. I'm not saying people aren't victims, but I'm talking about our mindset is very important, because you can still have had something really bad happen to you and not mentally continue to always be a victim about it. So the big situation for me that really brought this to the surface was the end of my marriage. And essentially, I married a man, and then it turned out that he was not the man that I thought he was. And he was not just having an affair, but starting a whole life as if he and I weren't already together, like with another woman, like starting a whole second life while we were still together. It was a very strange situation. And yeah, it was really tough for me. And I did feel like a victim in that situation. And I actually went to a counselor, and he really did help me quite a bit, actually. And he said, look, there had to have been signs. You have to honor your intuition. You have to honor your peace. And it was true. Once I started investigating that, it was actually very empowering. That's actually ultimately what led me to start to develop my own intuition and psychic abilities, was that, as well as another psychic that I had connected with, and going to get sessions with her. And it helped me shift from this place of like out of control, you know, feeling like everything's just kind of happening to me, to like, okay, how can I shift things and be more empowered in my decision making in the future? And most women are, I've been talking a lot about women, but it feels important right now. Most women are not taught to have healthy boundaries at all. And in my case, I was born into an abusive situation with my biological father. So like, I really had a lot of stuff that I had to reprogram. And when I was able to tap into my psychic and intuitive abilities, I was able to see things more clearly spiritually. And I'll give an example of this. So when we especially access our past lives, we can see the patterns of things. So physical boundaries and energy boundaries with men have always been a challenge for me historically. I've shifted so much in that regard. But I, for example, there would be a man and, you know, someone I didn't want to talk with, but he would say something to me and I'd feel like I had to respond, right? Like this idea of like, you have to be polite. And even if all your psychic alarm bells or emotional alarm bells are going off, and then I'd look at my past life with him, and you know, he had like killed and raped me in a past life. Like energetically, I was like, no, thank you. I don't want that again. And it's really important that we listen to that intuitive, like, I like that person, I don't like that person, and not let the programming of, I have to be polite, I have to be nice to this person, you know, overcome that intuitive or biological even response that we're having in that moment.
Yeah. And I really like how looking at things psychically or finding a past life connection with someone, even when it's a horrible story like this, or I use the word horrible because that's how we perceive when you talk about like, oh, this negative thing happened in the past, but you can use that information in a way that doesn't have to be charged. It's almost like, yeah. I feel like the psychic tools allow us to take the charge out of things and look more at a pattern and say, okay, I mean, this happened and it might've happened many more times in a previous lifetime. So what can I learn from this pattern without experiencing that particular pain or suffering in the moment? How can I learn from it and make a different choice? And I love that you're always laughing and you have such a great sense of humor about this. It's like, hey, no thanks. I don't really want to talk to you. It didn't work out so great last time. But that way we still have ownership over our autonomy. It's almost like when things are presented in this way, like you had a past life with this thing happen and here's the person again, how do you want to respond now? I feel like it opens up a lot more possibilities for us. Like, okay, well, if this is how things work, I'm going to make a different choice this time around.
Yes.
And then it actually is a building block that, you know, when you say, when you decide not to talk to that man, say in that situation, who he has no idea, maybe consciously what's going on, but if you just turn away and put up an energetic wall or whatever choices you make not to interact, it's almost like you've moved your chess piece, you know, into a different direction. And I feel like every one of these choices we make on a daily basis is progressing our sense of self, our learning, our own power. We come more into ourselves as we make choices that are aligned for us. And it doesn't have to be a judgmental or an aversion, but it's more like holding your knowledge, like, nope, no, thank you. And you often say that too, like sending energy back to wherever it came from, no, thank you, with love. So I really love your perspective on how to say no to things.
Yeah, it is a learning process. And for me, learning about soul development was very helpful. So a couple of resources there. Rob Schwartz, he's been on my podcast. I'm going to have him back on again shortly. He wrote several books, one of them called Your Soul's Plan, and it's all about soul planning. And he does talk about soul development in there. And then there's also, I think it's, was it Michael, Journey of Souls is the book, talks about this as well. And that was my first sort of introduction to the idea of soul growth or soul development. And just like we develop physically and we have different stages, you know, in terms of our physical development, you know, we're babies and then we're toddlers and, you know, then children and adults, et cetera, that same thing happens on a soul level. And the more I learned about that, the more helpful it was, because we often will label, you know, that person's bad or that's really, you know, terrible. And the truth is, a lot of those things are just young soul behaviors. These are like, imagine like a very young child or baby or toddler that just hasn't learned not to do that yet because they haven't been on the other side of it yet. So, I mean, you see this with toddlers, they bite people and hit people and steal things, you know, like, yeah, that's terrible. You know, it's not a good thing, but it's, we understand that that is a part of the development, you know, like the sort of idea of the terrible twos. But the thing is, on a soul level, that feels a lot more extreme. Like, yes. So I've looked at past lives enough to understand that we can say, okay, I really don't like that. That doesn't necessarily mean that's an evil person, but I have to be like, no, that's not okay. You can't treat me that way. And just really hold that boundary, like, nope. And I'm going to remember that that's how you are. And I'm not going to allow you to be in my field and to do that to me. I'm going to hold that boundary. So it's a learning process. And when we understand that kind of bigger soul picture and that soul development process, I think it really helps us to not get so wrapped up in the fear, the anger, the sort of trauma of all of it.
Yeah. And I feel like we live so much of our lives hooked into emotional drama.
Yes.
And you've talked also in another podcast about the dynamics of the victim, the rescuer, and the aggressor, the sort of triangle that can happen in a family or in a, you know, relationship dynamic of we get into these beliefs about ourselves.
Yeah, this is a very intense thing. And the drama triangle, which is what it's labeled, is like, yeah, there's always a victim, an attacker, and a rescuer in like drama. Mm-hmm. And the more we assess that and understand, and we can sort of opt out or pull out of that. So for example, in situations like where I was talking about, like situations with a man who is being aggressive or something, we can just be like, oh, I'm not gonna engage in that kind of victim mindset. And the other times it's the opposite way, where on an energetic spiritual level, maybe we wanna actually rescue that person, you know, for their ways or something. So, but regardless, we can be like, oh, I don't have to engage in this role. I can just be like, no, thanks. And when we do, there's something that happens. There's this kind of like this universal algorithm, and whatever we engage with, we get set more of that. So we can say like, oh, I don't want that. And it's like the universe pays attention and then sends us less of that particular thing. So it's this constant process for us of like, oh, kind of redirect. Do I want to engage with that? Is that serving me? Does that feel good? Okay, kind of letting that go and releasing.
Yeah. I want to get into some practical tools here. And you've mentioned a lot. One thing that we've been doing, talking about lately, that the angels and spirit guides have been showing us in psychically, is the white wall of energetic light.
Yes. I'll just walk us through. It's just a very simple exercise. So just go ahead, and everyone who's listening, if you can safely do so, obviously don't do this if you're driving, come back and listen to this at a later time if you are, but close your eyes, get in a nice, comfortable space, asking all of our angels and spirit guides, especially Archangel Michael and Raphael, they're both popping up psychically, to assist and support us. And just go ahead and visualize that you're in a beautiful shower of golden white or whatever colored light it feels like you need to light to use today. Let that light rain down on you easily and effortlessly, healing, clearing, releasing any energy that's no longer serving you. And just like we needed to care for our physical bodies, it's important for us to energetically clear ourselves as well. So this is what this does. And that light is just easily clearing anything away that you're ready to release, or maybe that you've absorbed from others, and taking it into the light back to wherever it is that it belongs, or permanently away from you. You don't have to decide. Let the angels and the universe decide where all that energy goes. And then if there's anything that you feel like you could use more protection from, one really powerful visualization is to envision in front of you a beautiful stone wall of light, which I know might sound strange, but basically visualize a wall that has the density of stone, so it's very strong and sturdy, but it's made of light and it's very protective, and it goes deep into the earth and high up into the sky, completely surrounding you or in between yourself and whatever it is that you feel like you need protection from. And you can use and access and call in this white wall of light at any time, whenever you feel overwhelmed, pinched upon, tired, stressed out. So know that this is there. Great. So just when you're ready, come back to the center of your awareness. And I want to share one more piece about this. Okay, so very powerful. And you can literally do something like that for a minute, 2 minutes, and it's such a profound energy shift that's happened. And I want to say, I was getting the intuitive hit to say this, that if you're like, I'm trying to do this and I'm struggling, or something keeps coming in, it may be that there's a situation that you're in, a relationship or belief that you have that's out of alignment with that full protection. And so that's the part of the deeper work where we have to really look at, okay, like, what am I engaging with here? What old beliefs do I have that I need to reprogram or release? And just keep doing that work. And once we are fully believing in this and also have released more unhealthy situations, then it becomes easier and easier to do that.
Yeah. And that's been true. I mean, I can speak from experience. It's been an incredibly empowering exercise, activity, like shift, mind shift, paradigm shift. And I read something that you wrote on social media actually yesterday, and you were saying so much of what we experience is through our manifestation in one way or another. Take aligned and intuitive action and watch your life change. And to me, that really sums it up. It's like when you listen to what's aligned and you listen to your intuition, the exponential possibilities for change are amazing.
And so fast. Your life can change so, so fast if you really do this and you listen and you follow. And just briefly, I'm getting to say a couple of tools that can help. So the white wall of light, energy shower, clearing as a whole, tapping is really helpful. I know you've had Brad Yates on the show and he's one of your speakers for your new course. Tapping is an incredible tool to help with clearing out old unhealthy beliefs, emotion code. There's so many different ones out there, but if you do small, consistent work every day, it helps things shift even faster. And also want to say that sometimes that energy work that we do doesn't feel pleasant in the moment. So we may experience resistance, but when we move through it and honor it and allow the process, it's incredible how quickly things come in. And one other intuitive thing I was getting to mention, which is there's a lot of discussions now of and rhetoric of the I believe in science. And I'm putting this in quotes because true science is always questioning. So anytime you hear that, I think it's really important to question that because science is all about always looking at new data and coming up with new information. And I just think that's a really important theme right now for all of us to intuit for ourselves and not just take whatever information that we've been given as true.
Yeah. I mean, we're, like you said in the beginning, like looking at all aspects of the mind, you know, not just using the analytical and the intuitive together. Like yes. Mark Gover talks about, like, why would we separate these things? Mind, body, spirit, we're all a combination. It's all one. And how can we use these different parts of ourselves in a way that supports our growth and society's growth, and it's just to be really curious about how things work instead of saying, oh, that's not real, or the word psychic has a connotation that gives aversion to people or causes them to say, oh, I don't want to know about that. But if you say, like, trust your heart, that's maybe more acceptable. But I mean, I'm really interested in going in deeper to this metaphysical knowledge that's available to us that we've kind of shut the door on as a group, and it's there. So when we tune into it, we get a ton of guidance and support. It's a really amazing resource. I feel so grateful that, you know, you opened the door for me.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. And I'm such an advocate of this because I've seen what it's done for me in my life. I literally went from, you know, just an emotional devastation and turmoil, physically ill, unemployed, broke, you know, all the bad things, to a completely different life experience.
Turning that all around.
Yeah, turning it all around in a relatively short amount of time. And the hardest part was listening to my intuition. That's literally the hardest thing, I think, about this whole journey, because we're not taught that, trusting it. Yes, trusting it, taking those leaps of faith, and just kind of going down that path, going down the rabbit hole in many ways. But you know, if your life is not serving you as you'd like for it to, then I think leaning into this approach even more. And I will say, with the caveat of finding teachers and resources that are really going to help you. So. Don't recommend, for example, getting readings or taking classes from teachers who are not modeling for you what you want.
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, I remember talking with this other psychic and I was like, yes, he talked about how he had worked at a psychic, you know, one of those psychic shops with like multiple psychics. And I've never done that. I've always felt to have my own space or been online. And this is part of why. He said that there was a psychic in there who'd come in and she was literally homeless, you know, and no judgment. I mean, that things happen to people, but he was like, she's not in a place to give people guidance. And I was like, yes, you were completely right. Meaning like go to someone as a mentor to take classes and model after someone who is doing well spiritually and materially.
Yes.
Because they've figured some things out and that we don't have to choose, right? We can be in a good place in both realms.
So well said. And so you are also going to be, you're offering a class coming up soon, and you're going to be a guest in my course. So I just want to share a little bit about your course that's coming up.
Absolutely. So I felt guided to create the 6-month psychic training program. I'd been teaching psychic training for a really long time, but felt to do something that was a deeper dive to really access abilities on a deeper level, as also to help people connect with each other that had these abilities and create community. Because when you're going through this kind of psychic spiritual opening and developing your abilities, it's very common to feel alone, like an alien, unsupported, you know, no one gets you. So this community piece I felt was really important. And I didn't have that when I was starting. I really struggled to find like-minded people when I was starting my spiritual journey. So I started the 6-month training. You're one of the first group, and you had also taken psychic training in advance of that course, but you have blossomed and done so much in such a short amount of time. So I've actually asked Sarah to be one of the speakers for the course to talk about, especially like, you know, the beginning part of the process, because I think it's helpful for people that are new to this work to see what can happen in a short amount of time when you do listen and lean in and kind of dive into this realm quickly, that the transformation can happen really quickly. So I have incredible other guest experts coming in, and I'll be announcing more as we go. But yeah, it's exciting. That's on my website, healingpowers.net, on the training page or the services page. And you can also feel free to reach out to either Sarah or myself. If you reach out to me, just let me know that Sarah sent you, because it's always helpful to know.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. Yeah, it was my favorite part to tell about the psychic training program from this year with you was before I signed up. So just the decision to sign up, I think I signed up way in advance. Like
you did. You know, you were one of my early signups. Yeah.
So like several months, like say 4 or 5 months early. That step of signing up for something that sounded like, oh, I don't know. That step is what propelled all of my intuitive opening. It's just a magical, mystical process. And I love how when you say yes, the universe goes, great, because we wanted you to say yes, and we're just going to put you into the flow. And I've learned so much. And also the community of other people in the course has been not only inspirational, but supportive. And, you know, you feel like you have a family of people that understand you, and you realize you're not so strange, and everyone has psychic abilities. But some people are really meant to serve in this way and do other things and do your creative work and do whatever else you want to do in your life. But that being a psychic or having intuitive psychic abilities or talking to your angels and spirit guides is not a strange sort of, you know, pastime, do it on the weekend, don't tell anybody. It's actually like a part of being human. It's a developmental sort of stage, I feel, that can support you in, like you say, being better as an actress, producer, filmmaker, artist, musician, performer, writer, author, you know, podcast host. There's so many ways in which we can use these skills to propel us on little decisions, but also in this sort of bigger spiritual realm to really get aligned with what the universe really is offering you, that is your birthright, but you kind of maybe got sidetracked or cut off, or somebody told you that wasn't okay. It's a way of really coming into yourself. I find it to be an amazing experience.
It really is. And I think what you brought up is so profound, that when we make that aligned action choice, the universe responds in this incredible way. And I had my own personal experience. And so my next round of this course starts in May of next year, May of 2022. So not sure when everyone's going to be listening to this, but as of recording this, this is like, you know, many months in advance of that start time. Yes. And I had a similar experience when I had just recently gone through my psychic spiritual opening and felt to take this psychic training program. And the combination of the training itself and the travel required for the training was about 10K. And I had like no money. Like this was a huge expense for me at the time, but I felt such a strong intuitive message to do it. And I hemmed and hawed for a year, basically for, they offered it. And then, you know, a year later, I was in a worse situation than I was at that point. And then that second time they offered it, I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I signed up, put it on a credit card, and I'm grateful that I had the credit card to do that with. And it was literally the best decision I ever made for my business and my life, because it was like choosing faith, choosing love, taking that leap, following my heart, because my heart wanted to do it. It was all the mental stuff about like the money and, you know, it's a not logical thing to do. I had to be practical. And the more I leaned into the spiritual aspect, what my heart was telling me, what my intuition was telling me, the better things went for me, including financially. So just getting to say that when we really pay attention to that, we're following that love. And then we're also telling the universe, okay, I'll do this. And then the universe supports that path. So it's a really important thing that you're just sharing.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. It's such a abundant way to look at life and living, to accept the abundance that's coming our way, to trust that the universe and our soul are really guiding us in the perfect direction. And if we're only willing to open to that possibility and say yes, even in a small way, signing up or I don't know, reading a book, or just giving ourselves a little bit of time and space to follow that thread that's calling us, you really find that things click and start to grow. It's like you're feeding that part of your soul.
And I feel like, just to say that when you have spent so much of your life kind of learning the analytical, structured, hierarchical system, that there can be a lot of rapid learning that we have to do the other way in order to balance things out. So I think that's what happens. A lot of people, they, you know, they feel like to do this deep dive, like all of a sudden you're like learning so much in this other area because your soul, your spirit is trying to balance this out. So if you feel to do that, just honor it. There's a reason that you're feeling that pull. I found that those who dive in more quickly and easily to all this, if they're oriented that way, will have faster and better results.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And as an artist, I've been able to open up creatively so much more because of freeing myself. You know, becoming more psychic also is undoing a lot of previous beliefs and patterns and clearing away. Just doing regular energetic clearing has opened up and taken away some of the blocks that were there that were impeding me from doing what I really wanted to do. And it's been so much more rewarding and fun. And I just want to share too that Laura is a guest speaker in the Creativity and Consciousness course that I'll be offering starting in October for 10 weeks. And so when you visit the course to teach, I feel like you give the listeners like a superpower, like, hey, guess what? You know, we're not just functioning on this level, but we can access higher realms and bring in that amazing frequency of the angels, the spirit guides, and our own intuition and guidance to make our work, to be more creative and to express in this really unique way.
Absolutely. And I really do believe that our creativity and our intuition is really connected. And the more we tap into one, the easier the other one gets. So now that I am fully, you know, connecting in with intuition, psychic abilities, on a regular basis, my creativity has also gone through the roof. So if you're not familiar with me, I mean, like, I have 8 books, I'm releasing some more, I, you know, just released some new music. I do a lot, but it's because when that's aligned, like, you can channel and connect with that creative energy a lot more easily as well. So I think if you are interested in creativity, or you're an artist or a painter or whatever type of art that you do, the more that you tap into your intuition, the better all of that flows for you as well.
Yeah. It's like, what's coming through? We get to filter and choose what we're channeling as creative beings. And so, do you want to choose fear? Do you want to choose love? Sometimes it's not clear. And then the more clear you get, the more light flows through you, I feel. So thank you so much, Laura. You're such an awesome teacher and creative person. And I just love talking to you. And I'm really grateful to be able to share your work with everyone who's listening.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I'm also a big fan of your work. And I think that your message in particular about channeling creativity and allowing yourself to step into your highest path as an artist and an intuitive person is so, so important right now. So thank you very much. And I so appreciate everyone here who's listening as well. And the more that we all unfold in our divine and aligned and abundant path, then the easier it makes it for everyone else to do it. So not only are you helping your life, but you're helping the whole world in that way as well.
That was such a wonderful conversation with Laura Powers. I hope that this gives you some inspiration for how to move forward in metaphysical training, or looking at your life from a more intuitive perspective. I hope this supports you to connect more deeply to your inner voice. You can find out more about Laura on her website, healingpowers.net. Check out her 6-month psychic training course. And also, she does business coaching and teaches classes like in podcasting on her website called powershour.biz. And she has multiple podcasts. Most notably is Healing Powers, which I recommend. She has so many episodes on there that we mentioned today. And then tell her that I sent you if you sign up for any of her courses. If you would like to work with Laura and myself to connect more deeply with your soul purpose on a creative level, then my new course, Creativity and Consciousness, is starting October 1st. It's a 10-week course with many amazing guest teachers, including Laura. And it's really about self-empowerment and utilizing all of the spiritual, creative, psychic, metaphysical tools that I have learned to support you in connecting to your creative fire and expanding upon your soul purpose. And if you're listening to this after October 1st, but you still want to sign up for the course, the calls are being recorded, so you can still join for the month of October and easily catch up. Also, I highly recommend regular psychic readings as a methodology for progressing in life. I offer readings on the sessions page of my website. Psychic readings are like metaphysical therapy, helping to release old patterns and bring in abundance. And sometimes we can shift more quickly than you could even imagine. Thank you for listening to the Psychic Artist Podcast. To learn more about me, you can go to sararossiter.com, on Facebook at the Psychic Artist Podcast, and on Instagram at srossiterstudio. Thank you for listening, and many blessings.